Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to use that reading out of Ruth as our text today. There was a little boy named Juan Rodriguez who was born in Puerto Rico, lived in a large family, five children, and the father was poor, had trouble keeping food on the table, and he worked in the sugarcane fields, which was dangerous work because the leaves were sharp and would cut you, and the children, as they were old enough, were expected to work in the sugarcane fields too because it was the only way they could get money for food, to put food on the table. But Juan would look across the road from the sugarcanes, and there was a golf course where rich people played golf, and he really just envied the fact that they had all their spare time to play golf over there. So one day he wandered over there, and he saw what they were doing, hitting a white ball with club. So he went home and made himself with some tree branches, some golf clubs, and he rolled up a tin can and made a golf ball, and he began to hit it around. But he knew he would never be over there playing golf on the golf course because he was very small, just a short, skinny kid, and he was very poor. His parents called him Chi-Chi, and he became, of course, one of the most famous golfers there is. Still holds the record for the most consecutive wins on the senior golf tour, has won 22 times there, 7 golf tournaments. He did what would seem impossible, but we would say God had a plan for his life. We see that in the lives of famous people, and we know it happens every now and then. I believe the book of Ruth was put there to remind us that God continues to do the same thing and perhaps even does it for you and me. Have you ever had one of those times when you felt out of place, when you have a feeling that everything has gone so wrong in your life that you just must have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you feel small, and you want to hide, and you don't want people to notice you, and what happens is you feel a decreased value in life. Ruth was at a place in her life when she had lost all value. She had no possessions left. She had no direction left. She had no way even to sustain her life. It was time for her just to go back and throw herself on the mercy of her family, but she chose another way. And through a series of seemingly random acts, she placed her name on the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because God had a plan for her life. There's some evidence that that plan was around long before Ruth ever was aware of it. The names of the two boys who married those Moabite girls and who dyed them, their names mean sickness and used up. It would seem like God knew the plan long before Ruth was ever aware of the plan. Ruth was a Moabite. They were the enemies of Israel. If you want to read the story of how their people began, read the story of Lot and his daughters. It's in Genesis chapter 19. That nation was looked upon with disdain. It was tainted. It was inferior. And oftentimes Israel was at war with the Moabites. There was no way someone who was from that country would ever be famous in the people of God. The people of Israel had women who populated their countryside who were God-fearing women, who were born in God-fearing families, who were very capable of being the chosen family of God. How on earth could this Moabite woman from nowhere, with all this bad luck, move into a scene that made her famous? Even though it's a very hard-to-believe story, I think it might possibly be your story and be my story too. Here's a woman that had evidence that God was not on her side. She had a background that wouldn't expect God to be on your side. They were the enemies of the people of God. And yet she chose to say to Naomi, "Your God will be my God." She knew the history. She knew her history. How could she possibly think she could follow after this God? Take a look at what a problem history can be, and you'll understand why she would have those thoughts. The family had moved to Moab because God had caused a famine to be in the land of Bethlehem, of Israel. It's a terrible feeling when you're in a drought and you're on a farm. It's a horrible feeling when the guy next door is getting the rain and you're not, like it stops on your property. You feel like you're doing something wrong and God is angry with you. It's a worse feeling when you know that that person over there getting the rain doesn't follow God, doesn't worship in the temple, doesn't pray to the true God, follows a false God, a demonic God, and they get the rain. Then the boys married outside the faith, and then the dad died, and the boys died, and the women were left without any means of livelihood, and you will begin to think that maybe God was mad at you, or that at least God wasn't very good at taking care of His people, and she still said, "Your God will be my God." We know the rest of the story. She found a rich guy to marry. She had children who had children, and they became the people who fathered David, king of Israel, who fathered Jesus, the Son of God. And you can imagine the amazement when the genealogy of Jesus is listed, and one of the few women that's put there is Ruth, this lady from Moab. It seems like sometimes you get the feeling we're supposed to just close our eyes and ignore the hurt that we have and say, well, God must have a plan. Carry our regret and our injury into our life because God must have it all figured out. Because most of the time, we're not in the part of the story where we see everything happen and it turned out to be good. We're in the middle of the story, and we can't see the plan, and we don't know our future, and all we know is our history. And a history is one that caused us some loss or some pain or some injury. Read a book that had a discussion by a doctor who spent his lifetime studying prisoners of war, starting with World War II and all the wars that we've had in between and the conflicts, studying men, mostly men, who had been tortured and imprisoned, sometimes for years at a time, and he studied their lives and how they recovered from that terrible time, and it was remarkable. A majority of them did not suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome. They went on, and many of them became highly successful people. Almost all of them said they learned lessons from their time of being tortured that helped them in their life. And I understand that. But the remarkable thing is many of them said the lessons they learned were worth the torture they experienced. That's how valuable they were. When they were in the middle of the torture, all they wanted to do was survive that night. All they wanted to do was to live through the beating, to survive the lack of food. But now at the end, when they're looking back over it, they can see that there was a reason for that, and they grew through all of that. The view was different at the end. I can't help but think the story of Ruth speaks to you and me, because oftentimes we're in the middle of the story, where we can't see any good that's coming, and when we can see only the bad. And the story of Ruth shows how God can take unlikely situations, impossible events, tragedies and losses, and people who are not supposed to be famous, and He can accomplish great and wonderful things with them. And even when everything has gone wrong in your life, God is on top of the situation. Your history does not define who you can be. The most heroic thing that Ruth did was to raise her head in the middle of this total loss of her life when she had no possessions left. She raised her head to look into the face of her mother-in-law, but I believe she was searching for the face of God. There's a statement in those words that had become so famous, "Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God." I think she discovered a truth that mattered. If God was true, and God was powerful, and God was loving before all of her loss, God was still true, God was still loving, and God was still powerful. And there was in that truth something that made all the difference in the life of Ruth. She followed the true God. And I suspect what she saw in her mother-in-law was a confidence that even in the face of disaster, God was still in charge. There's a commercial for a shoe company that has a famous basketball player, and he's surrounded by throngs of people. He's wearing real expensive jewelry. He's in his house. There's cars all around that belong to him. And he says in the commercial, "What if I lost all the fame, and all of a sudden the people disappear? And what if I lost all the possessions, and then the cars were gone?" And he said, "What if I had no fancy home to live in, and the home disappeared?" And he's standing there with a basketball in a basketball court, and he says, "What if all I had was basketball?" He said, "I would still have everything." Of course, that was his life. Ruth was coming to that conclusion, that you could lose everything. that you could have nothing. And if you had the God that Naomi followed, you still had everything. We have a problem with our history because we know we have not earned this place in the genealogy of Jesus that was earned by Ruth. We have not established ourselves as the kind of people that God would write famous books about because we know our failures and we know our sins. Here's the gift God gives you. God rewrites your history. Before He ever makes a plan for your future, before He ever gives you a destiny that changes the life of somebody somewhere down the line, He rewrites your history and takes all of the sins you have ever done and removes them from your record, and He bathes them in the blood of Jesus Christ, and He forgets them and He remembers them no more. The pain of our loss, when we experience it, is very real. And often it stays very fresh and painful. That starts new every day. Along with brushing your teeth and eating your breakfast, you have this chore. You must deal with this pain or this memory or this loss. Maybe Ruth was changed by what she went through. We are not told. I do not know. Maybe the people of Moab were changed by what she went through. We are not told. I do not know. But we do know that God had a magnificent plan for this unknown girl from Moab. And Ruth was so important that when they list the key players, she's the famous one. She's listed there along with them. God had plans for her. Today is our second leg of our stewardship services. Today we emphasize talent, time, talent, treasure. Despite all the things that may have gone wrong in your life, I believe you share the story of Ruth. You share all the story of Ruth, that God has rearranged your history, that God has plans for you, and that God put you where you are because that's where He wants you to be. That God gifted you with abilities, and those abilities are placed in your possession to be used by Him to accomplish some great thing. Hold on to this truth over and over again. God would give this simple promise to His people, and it would change everything. I have plans for you. He may be speaking to a king in a palace or to a young child who is living in poverty, but He would say this one thing and they would move forward from there with a purpose and with confidence. I have a plan for your life. Often it would be in bad times when times were tough. Sometimes it would be in good times when there was wealth. God would speak this one promise, and it made sense to the people who heard it, and they were able to pick up their burden, whatever it was, and move forward when they learned that God had a plan for their life. That truth speaks to who you are. It speaks to how you are designed. It speaks to why you are where you are today. It speaks to the events that surround your life, that change your life, that embed themselves in the days of your life. God has a plan for you. And if you could read the genealogy of every single individual that God lifts from this world and takes to the glory of heaven, you're going to read your name every now and then. Because something you said one time made a difference. Something you did one time made a difference. Some place where you were mattered in the life story of some individual. That's why God gives you talents. That's why God places you here. God has a plan for your life. And it seems to me, rather than figure out why each thing happens in your life and explain it to yourself, simply look forward to tomorrow and understand that God moves you into tomorrow because He has a place for you. And God moves you into tomorrow because He has a plan for you. And God finally steps you into the joys of heaven because you have accomplished your destiny. You have been what God called you to be, and you have changed the life of someone in this world. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.